Mercy and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our all. We've already read the gospel lesson for this morning, our sermon text, the two parables, parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin. It includes these words. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." A portion of God's word before us. Those who have been here know that I offer a prayer before we start. Lord God, Heavenly Father, once again this Sunday I gather with your people here at Trinity in Nicollet, Minnesota. We are so thankful that you're here listening and watching. I pray that you would put onto my lips and into my head words beyond anything that I've written, rehearsed, practiced, or prepared. I humbly pray that these words I have for your people might cause me to grow in my knowledge and faith, my trust, my love for you, the same for these who gather. We pray for the grandmas and grandpas, great-grandmas and moms and dads and all of us who model faith for the next generation who are just at your altar. Oh, we had a little devotion about being lost and things that were lost. We were lost and you found us in Christ. Keep us in the family of believers. Bless these words I bring to your people. May they convict with the law, comfort with your good news, that sweet gospel of Jesus, our Savior. As always, we pray in his most holy name. Amen. Fellow redeemed, people who are sheep in God's flock, lost. That's our word today, lost. Lost as in, I can't find it. We've all lost things. Lots of things. Oh, we might not term it lost. We'll say, oh, I misplaced it. Or we'll just scramble and think, now where did I put it? I laid it down somewhere. We know the kinds of things that we lose. We brought a few for the children here. We lose, we can't find our cell phone. We lose our keys and we go into panic because we have to be somewhere by a certain time or pick someone up. And where are my keys? I didn't place them where I usually do. Sometimes we lose something as simple as a sock. As you and I think about things or people we lose, a story. Years ago, our second son, his name is Benjamin, was with us at a department store. Benjamin was about 5 years old, a good son, an obedient son, gave us no trouble. At the time, we called him Benji. My wife and I are in this department store, I believe we were in Kohl's, and I needed some new shirts, dress shirts, and slacks, pants. And we're going through racks and racks and racks of shirts, and we're going through stacks and stacks of pants, and we're trying to sort different materials and different prices and all kinds of things. We're coming up with a stack, and finally we determine these are the ones I need to go to the fitting room and try on. We're all set to go. My wife and I are there with our little Benji, and we look around. No Benji. We lift up the clothes on the hanging there on the racks, not under there. We look down this aisle, and we look down that aisle, and we look down the next aisle. No Benji. You know the drill. You've heard enough story about children who are silently and suddenly and secretly snatched. No Benji. Where could he be? Where could he have gone? Did somebody snatch him? You know those moments of, uh-oh. It's more than losing a sock or some keys. So we extend our search, widen our search. Finally, finally, we find little Benji. This little kid could see in the distance this tall, yellow, big bird from Sesame Street. They had the Big Bird display, and there's Big Bird. And little Benji just kind of gravitated over there to see Big Bird. And two others from Sesame Street he liked, Bert and Ernie. Happy to find our lost son. God's word today talks about something more important that's lost. Well, sheep and coin, really it's talking about people. As you and I think about lost, in the sense of the word lost in our text today, it is lost in the sense of determined to find, persistent in finding, kind of like a dog on a pant leg, I'm not going to give up until I find it. You ever stop and think? That's what the Lord does for you and for me. As you and I consider these words of our God today in these two parables, we're going to consider what I've termed, and you see as our sermon theme, the relentless love of God. Now, relentless can have some bad connotations, but I'm using the word relentless as in persistent, determined, doesn't give up on me or you. As we consider this relentless love of our God, two parables, it's good to know a little bit about the story. Jesus is on his last legs, his last trip to Jerusalem. If you know anything about Jesus' last days and his trip to Jerusalem, he is doing some instructing, some reminding, some repeating, some trying to reinforce to those disciples what they need to be doing in their ministry as he commissions and calls them to do work for him and serve for him, just like the Lord has commissioned and called you and I to work for him and serve for him, to be relentless in their love for him, relentless, determined in their service to him, relentless and determined in sharing him, and in our modern case, relentless and determined in inviting people to Trinity, friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and maybe even being relentless, determined about those that we haven't seen, or those that we usually sit next to or sit in front of us, relentless. Well, think about the stories that Jesus told. He told the story, the parable of the lost sheep. Of all the items we've ever lost, probably never lost a sheep. I know there's a lot out there who have pigs or cows, but I don't know if you ever all have sheep. Maybe someone will tell me later that you do, but that lost sheep. And you know, before we think about actually losing a sheep, as a shepherd potentially might, it's good for us to remember that we're sheep. You and I have heard enough sermons on John 10, that good shepherd chapter. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me. I give them eternal life. We know enough about being sheep. We've heard the 23rd Psalm more times than I can speak. You remember the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We remember what it's teaching us. When the Lord's my shepherd, when I'm one of his sheep, I shall not want. I lack nothing. I have everything, the one I need, when the Lord's my shepherd. You know what's special about having the Lord as your shepherd? He makes it his business never to lose you. And when you think about the Lord being your shepherd and the relentless love of Jesus, the good shepherd, sometimes, maybe more times than we like, undoubtedly more times than we like, our shepherd Savior to bring us back in line, to keep us close to him in our prayers and our devotions and our worship life, he allows or sends, hear me now, troubles, challenges, difficulties, sickness, injuries, financial setbacks, pink slips at work. Because what happens to us when difficulties come? When suddenly you go in for that checkup, you got that little bit of chest pain, and the doctor says, I think we're going to do open heart surgery now. Your life changes. Your closeness to the Lord changes. You are praying like you haven't prayed before. And all the promises of God being your shepherd, you remember. Now, when I think about the relentless love of God, I happen to be one that had open heart surgery. And as I think about that story I told about Benji, another little story, we actually lost a son in death. I only mention that too in this message because it's a special week for us this week. Today is September the 14th. He died on September 16th. I guarantee you there'll be special happenings at our house in New Ulm on the 16th. But I also think about the shepherd in that story. Because when our son Aaron was in the hospital some now 24 years ago, didn't know he'd be getting ready for heaven at the time, it was a challenge when we'd leave him. He wasn't in a hospital near us. We had to put him on a trauma, on a flight for life into a trauma center closer into Chicago where we lived. And every day we drove back and forth to a place called Park Ridge, Illinois. 14, 15 hours a day, our time was consumed being in Park Ridge, Illinois. And you know our challenging time? Leaving at night. Because you want to be with your sickly son every moment. And I can remember thinking about the Good Shepherd. And I would tell our family as we didn't want to leave that we're just third string. Now, what did I mean by that? I reminded our family, you know, when we go home, the first team is on duty. Who's the first team? God the Father Almighty. And I would tell my wife and I would tell our sons, do you think God the Father Almighty can take care of our son while we're gone? Yep. Omnipotent Almighty. And I reminded them, you know, the second team's on duty too. His guardian angels. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Second team's on duty. And when we would go home at night, we'd think about our shepherd watching over his sheep, his little precious lamb, our little dear son Aaron. I'd say, you know, we're just measly third string. The first team's always on duty. Second team, so to speak, is always on duty. What a gracious, great God we have. And you know what else I think about when I think about the shepherd, Jesus, and his relentless love for us? He never, ever, as in never, ever, leaves us. I can remember all the times I've been in catechism classes or Sunday school groups or devotions in church and said, how special it is that our shepherd, Jesus, never leaves us. And there's some pretty boring times. If I'm God and I'm watching over you, I could pick any of you out. If I'm watching over you and it's nighttime, 1, 2, 3 in the morning, you're laying in your bed and you're snoring. You're sleeping. Humanly speaking, our Heavenly Father could take a break and go someplace else because he knows that you'll be okay by morning, but he never leaves. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I am with you always. He is relentless, persistent, determined in his love. And if you or I are like one of those sheep, you and I have heard enough sermons on sheep to know about sheep. They get themselves in trouble. I can remember my Sunday school teacher when I'm a little kid would remind me, you know what sheep do? They just kind of wander off. And what happens when they fall? When they fall, they've got these four little stubby little legs that just flailing, 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 flailing. No matter how much they flail, they can't get themselves uprighted. Only one way for that sheep to be rescued. The shepherd has to come and pick up that sheep and put him on or her on his shoulders and in his arms and carry them that sheep back to safety. That's the relentless love of our God. He is determined when we wander off, when we fall into sins, our favorites and pet sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, our trespasses, as we say in the Lord's Prayer. In his love, he always seeks us out. He always finds us. Determined, doesn't give up on us ever. And you know that same parable of the lost sheep? You heard the part about the 99 looking for the one. Over time, I'd always remind people of the importance of finding each one. You know what's important? Why there's rejoicing in heaven? Yep, it's over that one sheep. God's word says it that way, and I make sure I say that right. But what's wonderful about that one lost sheep that's found, when that sheep realizes in joy what it meant to go from eternal torment and hell and fire to eternal riches and rewards and bliss and grandeur and greatness in heaven, that one person is so on fire for Jesus, so excited about what he did, that the Lord would take me, a poor, miserable sinner, and bring me into his family. You know what that one person tends to do? So excited, they tell everybody. They tell everybody. And I think of that story that I usually tell. I say, you know, that one person, I'm going to call him a him, he gets married. He makes sure that he's on fire, his wife's on fire, because he wants her in heaven forever. And they got these four kids, and he makes sure those are on fire. And those four kids have spouses that make sure are on fire, and those four have four. And you think about all that come from that one. Over time, I've come to talk about what I think of as the mission chain. I'll probably say this somewhere else in a children's devotion, but that mission chain. Ever stopped and think about the mission chain, how important you are in the mission chain? I'm a believer because my dad and mom were believers. My dad and mom were believers because my grandparents were believers. My grandparents were believers because their parents, my great-grandparents, were believers. Now, here I am as a grandparent. My children are believers in part. Obviously, we give all praise and credit and thanks to the word of our God and his sacrament and so forth. But in humanly speaking, believers because they're parents. My wife and I, believers. And our grandchildren are believers because their parents were and are believers. And I pray that our great-grandchildren will be believers because our grandchildren are believers. Think about the three and four generations this way and the three and four generations this way. And I said I call it the mission chain. Because what happens with a chain that has but one broken link? One broken link, that chain is worthless. And just as you or I might impact three and four generations, I like to remind young people in catechism class that what they're studying, what they're learning, isn't just to be able to recite okay to me or write a quiz to me or whatever they have to do, but somebody's eternity is depending on their faith walk. Perhaps their most beloved spouse, their beloved children, their grandchildren, the things that they know and believe forever. And you know, we have a Savior who's relentless in his love, making sure that you or I are in the faith, stay in the faith, grow in the faith. And the Lord desires to strengthen us by hearing his word, receiving his sacrament, having our devotions. This week, when you sit down and read your meditations books, I know they are back here in the back at Trinity, you're going to read devotions on Luke chapter 15, these lost and found chapters. Last Sunday, I preached on Deuteronomy 30. All this past week, you've been reading devotions. I pray on Deuteronomy chapter 30. Using the prayers in back and all the rest, that relentless love of our God. Think also in the story about that lost coin. That lost coin, we aren't going to say much about that story. I said over here when I read it, you know, I think it's more in terms of like that wife that loses her diamond ring. Looks everywhere. Searches everywhere. Retraces her steps, sweeps, cleans, keeps looking until she finds it. When's the last time you would consider that when it came to telling someone else about Jesus? You know, I always ask people, who do you know that doesn't know Jesus? When's the last time you would say your pursuit, your invitation to Trinity, your invitation to come to your church, your invitation has been relentless, not going to give up. It's not just, well, I asked them one time at Christmas, they didn't come. Determined. And you know, as we think about our relentless love and doing what Jesus did, strategize. You know, there's somebody you'd like to invite to Trinity, or maybe there's somebody who has been in Trinity, hasn't been seen in a while. Strategize. What might you do? Maybe you'll invite them over to dinner. That doesn't seem like any godly necessarily. You invite them over to dinner. You'll ask them how their kids are doing, how their work's doing, how their grandchildren are doing, how their garden did, how whatever. And eventually you want to ask him, clearly and unmistakably, you strategize, I want to talk to him about church. I want to talk to him about Jesus and their Savior. Haven't seen you. Or maybe on a Sunday, you're going to strategize and say, you know, I've been trying to get so-and-so back in the church. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invite them to breakfast. You come with me to 9 o'clock church and we'll go out to breakfast together. Pick the place. And you'll have that opportunity to have them in church and to encourage them in their faith walk. Strategizing that love you have for Jesus, the kind of love Jesus has for you.